Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From the most trusted journalists at Comedy Central, it's America's only source for news. This is The Daily Show with your host, Michael Cox.
Much news to cover tonight. Americans Google their symptoms. Trump throws an abortion policy reveal party. And student debt must have some bad tweets because it just got canceled. So let's get into the headlines. Let's kick things off with yesterday's solar eclipse, when people across the continent came together to have their wallets stolen while they were distracted by space. Hopefully everyone wore the correct safety glasses so they didn't catch COVID from the sun, but even if you did wear them, you still might have had a solar hangover.
Google Trends report shows some of the eclipse watchers may not have been using proper eye protection. The company says it saw a spike in searches of "my eyes hurt" following the solar eclipse on Monday.
My eyes hurt? That's not even a question. That just sounds like people were complaining to their computer. My eyes hurt, Google. Get some friends, losers. By the way, I hate that Google uses our searches to monitor trends. That's why you gotta throw up some fake searches every day. Like, I'll put in my eyes hurt plus something random like hockey skates, edible, just to throw it off. But this story does say a lot about the state of our healthcare system. Back in the day, if you had eye pain, you'd call up your family doctor and he'd tell you to smoke more cigarettes. Nowadays, you have to wait 6 weeks to get an appointment with your eye doctor, or you can go online and immediately find out that the eclipse glasses gave you autism. Look, the good news is, for most people, the pain is probably a harmless case of eye strain. You'll be fine, because those glasses were made from the same high-tech advanced material as the birthday crown they give you at Burger King. Now, speaking of looming shadows over America, let's move on to gun violence. America treats its gun problem the way a dog treats a new baby, by hoping that if we ignore it, it'll disappear. But at this point, any progress, no matter how small, would be better than the status quo. And now, a legal verdict might have set an important precedent.
Breaking today, for the first time in the United States, parents whose son killed four teenagers will themselves spend 10 to 15 years in prison.
The Crumbleys provided unrestricted access to the gun, ignored their son's spiraling mental health problems, and enabled his actions by ignoring all of the warning signs.
School staff testify the parents were called to the school and urged to get Ethan psychological help just hours before the shooting, but the Crumbleys refused to take him home.
That's right. For the first time ever, parents are going to be liable for their kid's school shooting, which honestly makes sense to me. You know, we already blame the parents for a lot less. When a teenager throws a loud party, we blame the parents. Or when a kid has a stupid haircut, we blame the parents. We should blame the parents when a kid shoots up a school. And why stop with the parents? The grandparents raise those parents. So throw them in prison too. In fact, go all the way up the family tree, you know? Great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. Exhume all the bodies and put them in a special ghost jail. And, yeah, and if you're thinking, wait, we have to build ghost prisons now? Wouldn't it be more reasonable just to regulate guns? Yeah, I agree. Either way, after hearing what these parents did, I don't ever want to hear again that I'm a bad parent just for giving my kid an iPad, okay? The worst thing my kid is going to do is go to school and talk in a Peppa Pig accent all day. Let's move on. to some presidential news in our ongoing coverage of Indecision 2024. If you're like most young Americans, you have thousands of dollars of college debt after getting your degree in TikTok gender studies. Thankfully, President Joe Biden is here to help.
President Biden unveiled his latest effort to free up more Americans who are bogged down by student debt. The plan announced during a visit to Wisconsin includes debt cancellation for those who now owe more than they borrowed because of runaway interest.
We plan to deliver up to $20,000 in interest relief to over 20 million borrowers.
Whoa, yeah, wow. That's a nice forgiveness. Speaking of, it's interesting that they call this student debt forgiveness, as though the student did something wrong. We forgive you for being a poor, broke bitch. But as long as Biden's paying off student loans, how about paying off the other debt college kids incur? You know, my buddy Greg never got me back from that time I spotted him for the Sea-Doo rental in Panama City. Where's my check, Joe? But this is a reminder that college is too expensive. Tuition, room and board, books, a computer to create a social network that'll one day ruin democracy. It adds up. Now, some critics are saying that this student loan forgiveness is just a cynical bribe by Joe to give young people what they want so they vote for him. And they're right. It's an ancient tactic called politics. And Joe Biden better hope it works, because he really, really needs young people.
In the 2020 NBC News exit poll, candidate Biden led former President Trump by 24 percentage points among voters under 30. But an NBC survey in January had President Biden up by just 8 percentage points among that group. Another poll last month showed Mr. Trump ahead by 18 points among voters under 30.
Are you excited to vote for President Biden?
I would personally say no.
I'm excited to vote for someone that's not Trump, but I wouldn't say that it is. I'm excited for Biden.
Oof, man, Joe Biden is in trouble. The most liberal city in a critical swing state, and its college students are on the fence. I'm excited to vote for anyone besides Trump. How about Joe Biden? No. So the big question is, will this new plan work? To help us answer that question, we go live to our own Josh Johnson. Josh. Yeah. Josh, you've been talking to young voters. What do they think of Joe Biden's student loan cancellation?
I'll be blunt, Michael. They think it's bullshit, okay? Young voters have deep principled problems with the Biden administration. He has failed us on climate change, social justice, and immigration, and the way he eats ice cream is nasty. Mm. These are serious failures that need to be addressed. Young people don't want a bribe. They want a leader who will secure our future. Yeah. Biden is not going to paper over these foundational shortcomings by promising us $20,000.
Okay. What if he offered $25,000?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Okay, see, yeah. But that was easy. That was too easy. Josh, what about $21,000?
Hell no. You're going to offer money on matters of principle?
Okay, what, $24,000?
Deal.
$22,500.
$23,000. Ooh, here we go, Joe. Build back better, baby. All right.
Oh, wow. He already has the money. Josh Johnson, everybody. When we come back, we'll talk about Donald Trump's latest election strategy. Don't go away. Look at this. Wait a second. What? Yes.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. As we all know, there's an ongoing battle in America about who should decide on abortion. Should it be women? Should it be... Should it be Congress? Well, today, Arizona is saying How about men from the Civil War era?
Arizona going back to the Civil War era for their abortion laws. The Arizona Supreme Court ruling the state must comply with a 160-year-old law barring all abortions, the only exception to save a pregnant woman's life. But no exceptions for rape, no exceptions for incest.
This is crazy. Boo. Boo. This is crazy. Is Arizona really using an abortion law from the 1860s? Back then, there wasn't even a test to become a doctor. It was just a gross guy saying, I love looking at scabs. I want to be a doctor. It's like, and it's not just abortion. We shouldn't be using any Civil War law. At least every 100 years, we should just do a review of all the laws, you know? Guys, we still against murder? All right, great. Moving on. All post offices have mandatory horse ties? No? Scrap that one. Okay. But this is the kind of thing women have been facing ever since Roe v. Wade was killed by the Supreme Court. And while many Republicans would like the whole country to look like Arizona, Donald Trump, the guy who appointed those Supreme Court justices, is now trying to position himself as a moderate on abortion.
Now to the race for the White House. After months of questions, former President Donald Trump today revealing his position on abortion, declining to call for a national ban, saying he would leave it up to the states.
The states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people.
Elsewhere in the video, Trump expressed support for IVF and abortion exceptions for rape, incest, and when the life of the mother is at risk.
I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby.
Did he just say precious baby sarcastically? Congrats on your bundle of joy. Also, not the main point here, but that's more spray tan than usual, right? Your first thought when you see someone's face should never be, is it cake? But more importantly, yes, Donald Trump now says that states should choose their own abortion laws. Although I don't know why that's considered a moderate position. As a reasonable man, I think only some women should be forced to give birth against their will, depending on which state they live in. It's called common sense. Honestly, I'm just shocked Trump came out in support of IVF. I expected him to be like, if your loser husband can't get it done, give me a call. I'll be in and out 2 minutes. And by the way, Trump isn't just trying to position himself as a moderate on abortion. He also wants to portray the Democrats as the real extremists.
It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month, and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that.
Come on, dude. Democrats don't execute babies after birth. They send them to Hillary so she can harvest their organs. Seriously, that's such an obvious lie. Nobody wants to execute babies. Now, when they're 3 or 4 and they're talking all day in a goddamn Peppa Pig accent, well, then you might find some execution support. But, of course, you might be wondering, has this always been Donald Trump's position on abortion? Well, in a way it has, in that Donald Trump has had every position on abortion.
I'm very pro-choice. I am pro-choice in every respect.
Trump says he has since changed his thinking and is now, quote, 100% pro-life.
I am pro-life.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
Within 3 hours, Trump did a 180. If abortion were illegal, his campaign wrote, the doctor or any other person performing this illegal act upon a woman would be held legally responsible, not the woman.
It will go back to the states, and the states will then make a determination.
It could be state or it could be federal. I don't frankly care.
We're also seeking passage of the 20-week abortion bill.
The number of weeks now, people are agreeing on 15. And I'm thinking in terms of that.
I know you're opposed to abortion.
Right. I'm pro-choice.
You're pro-choice or pro-life?
I'm pro-life, I'm sorry.
Pro-life.
I mean, and people claim Biden has memory issues? Trump's like, remind me what my principled stand is on one of the biggest issues in this country. This guy has truly been all over the place on abortion. I feel like his positions change based on which of his kids he saw last, you know? Ivanka, pro-life. Eric and Don, mandatory abortion. Now, the cynics might say that Trump is just taking whatever position on abortion is most helpful to him, but how dare they, okay? I believe these are genuine changes of heart. It's not like Trump is coming right out and saying he's trying to win the election.
You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections. We must win. We have to win.
Okay, so I guess he is saying it. I should probably watch these clips before I host the show. But look, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that the right to life you can compromise on, but the right to an election, well, that's Trump's precious baby. Now, when we come back, Alex Garland will be joining me on the show, so don't go away.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is an award-winning writer and director whose new film is called Civil War. Please welcome Alex Garland. How you doing, buddy? Thank you for coming. Look at this guy. Wow. Thank you for coming. I loved your film. The whole thing is intense.
Right. Okay, good. There
was a lot of assumptions about the film just based on the trailer.
Yeah.
You wrote it. You directed it. What do you want to tell us about Civil War?
You mean how do I want to sell it?
People heard Civil War and they saw the trailer and they immediately went, you know, it's this.
All right. What I wanted to do was make something compelling and exciting and engaging and all that stuff, but also lead to some kind of conversation, have a thought process.
Yeah.
Not all films do that. Not all films have to do that. That's fine. But that's what this one is aiming for. And it's, you know, it's set in a world where division and polarized politics have led to some really strange authoritarian state.
Yeah.
And
the
country's disintegrated.
And I believe you're purposely vague about how we got here, who's fighting who. Was that on purpose? Am I right to assume that?
Sort of. Yes and no, I think.
I go for sort of.
Yeah, it's sort of. it is very vague about some stuff.
Yeah.
And it is very, very specific about other stuff. And I think because it's vague about some things, it creates an assumption that there's an overall vagueness, but actually it's quite on point in some areas.
You know...
That itself is a vague statement.
Well, you answered it. You know, one of the things that I felt so much in this film was so many of these American places that I love, born and raised in America, is the golf course, is the football stadium. And that scene we just saw, I mean, here's a sniper trying to take someone out on a golf course while Christmas music is playing in the background. I mean, it's like, holy shit, as an American, I said, I don't want this to happen. I don't want us to be in a civil war.
You shouldn't want it to happen.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
Right. I don't want it to happen either. I have to say, also, seeing as we're talking about it, seeing as I appear to be on a television show right now, I ought to say.
Yeah, you are.
Exactly. It's not, it really isn't just America. It's set in America, but this situation exists in my country and in many European countries, the Middle East and Asia and South America. And I chose America because everybody looks to America.
Right.
But the things it's talking about are quite global.
As a Brit, was it a little bit fun watching America crush itself?
Okay. No, honestly, I hate it. By the way, to be serious, nobody on the planet, apart from psychopaths, needs disintegration in this country.
Yeah.
They don't. Nobody on the planet wants division in this country.
Yeah.
They want stability and decency. And, for sure. For
real. I think... Sometimes when you're sitting on your couch at home on Twitter and we've got our political identities and there's kind of this cute idea of, oh, we're going to a civil war. But when you watch your film, it's f-ing terrifying, dude. And it's like, oh, no. We should be having these conversations. One scene comes to mind in particular, the Lincoln Memorial.
Right.
I mean, it's in the trailer, so I don't want to spoil it. It gets exploded.
Yeah, and don't blow it up. It's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it honestly, I went there as a seventh grader with my middle school, and I just was like, holy shit, how would I feel if this happened? Of all the places you could have blown up in this film, and a lot of places do blow up, but the Lincoln Memorial, I mean, tell me why that was important to you.
Well, actually, because particularly towards the end of the film, I wanted the audience, having gone through hopefully a compelling, engaging story, to suddenly feel a really strong sense of aversion.
Yes.
Like a really deep, instinctive sense of sort of being appalled.
Yes.
And although it was written before January the 6th, there was something about January the 6th that it was a disgrace, right? It was various things, but one of the things was it was a disgrace and it provoked a feeling of... whatever is happening, this shouldn't be happening. This just has like a deep wrongness about it.
Right.
And this is that writ large, I suppose.
And I guess it says a lot about you that you take great pleasure in giving us these things that should not be happening.
There's no pleasure in it. No. It's just humility in my job that leads me to do these things.
We haven't spoken about the role of the press in this film, and it's in the clip as well. But I mean, that's the center character is press.
Because on a personal level, I'm completely over this demonization and villainization of the press. It's been happening a lot. It comes from politicians and it comes from within social media, which is this weird public discourse space that doesn't really relate to how people talk to each other at all. We all know that, right?
And
in some places it happens within the press, but whatever it is, we need journalists. We need trusted journalists in pretty much exactly the same way we need doctors.
Right.
So I'm done with this thing, and I thought... I when I was setting out to make it, someone said, don't make it about journalists, everybody hates journalists. And I thought, this is just nuts. It's just nuts. Anyway,
I mean, is that a leap for me to say if we gut journalism, we lead to civil war?
You know what? All right. Yeah. I will be very serious. I know this is a comedy show. I'm not very good at it.
Are you kidding me? I mean, I haven't told the joke in the first two acts of this thing. So.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
There's a system of checks and balances.
Yeah.
Government has checks and balances, executive, judiciary, legislature. And then there's the fourth estate. There's journalists watching that. That's a system of checks and balances which is not arbitrary.
Right.
It's for a reason. It's guarding against something. It's guarding against something real. If you erode it, if you erode government, if you erode the people watching the government, the thing you're guarding against may just turn up. And what is that thing?
Yeah.
Actually, in Europe, we know exactly what it looks like because fascism there came out of democracy.
Right.
And a lot of fascists don't know they're fascists. They kind of know it's a bad word.
Right.
They don't identify as fascists. It's not a thing. Some do, but most don't, right?
Right.
And it's actually really a state of mind that people drift into.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, following some kind of swastika flag. It's not really that.
Yeah.
And it is actually a danger.
It's easy to watch this film and to go, America, watch out. America, this civil war could be yours. But really, I think you briefly stated, this isn't just the United States.
We had a prime minister, a guy called Boris Johnson.
Sure.
It was an interesting thing. He was manifestly a liar. It was completely obvious he was a liar. And journalists would point this out, but they didn't have any traction. It didn't do anything. It just sort of bounced off him. That was weird. So your country, my country, many other countries, I wish I had a joke up my sleeve.
No, you don't need a joke.
But you swore, right? This is f***ed up. This is actually f***ed up. And it is dangerous.
Dude, I watched your film, and then I got in a cab in Manhattan, and I was like, I want to go to the country right now. And just like, I mean, it is very powerful. It's an anti-war film for sure. Mm-hmm. And is there a lesson I should be taking? Should I be having more conversations with people that ideologically I'm different than?
Here's my feeling, right? Yeah. Most people are not extremists.
Yeah.
Most people just are not.
Yeah.
They don't really have a voice. Extremists have occupied noise. Yeah. And I think the key thing to be...
Thank you. Thank you for coming to chat with us. Thank you for your film. It's tremendous. I hope everybody sees it. Civil War is in theaters and IMAX nationwide April 12th. Alex Garden, we're taking a quick break. We'll be right back after this. You don't need a joke. We can have a real fun.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's our show for tonight. Now here it is, your moment of zen.
Giving parents an opportunity to get back to work. Well, I'll tell you what, you want to come make a speech or shush up, okay? I'm not messing around with him. He looks like he could take me.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.